To download more lectures, learn more about our project, and to help support it, visit www.bayina.com/dream. That's BAYYINAH/dream. You are free to share these recordings with family and friends. Thank you and Jazakumullah khairan for helping us make our dream a reality.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين ثم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته كنا نقرأ ما ودعك ربك وما قلى we were reciting ما ودعك ربك وما قلى and we talked about how Allah عز وجل lets his messenger know he didn't bid you permanent farewell at all. One subtle point I failed to mention before, the oaths that Allah Azza wa Jal took in the beginning were about the morning and the evening, neither of which are permanent. So it's only fitting that Allah says the farewell, the gap in revelation is not permanent. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Now the word qala we were talking about, and I was just in the middle of explaining that it's transitive. What that simply means is it needs an object. In other words, you don't say, I am unhappy, you have to say, I'm unhappy with, and you mention somebody, right? So you say, you don't say, I bid farewell. You say, I bid you farewell. Similarly, if I say, I am displeased, you would expect in Arabic at least, I am displeased with you. So that you would be mentioned again. Now, when it came to bidding farewell, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, مَا وَدَّعَكَ. That ka is means you. It's referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your Lord did not bid you farewell at all, bid you farewell at all. But when it came to being displeased, Allah does not say, وَمَا قَلَكَ, and He is not displeased with you. The word you, the ka is not there, it's just qala. It's just qala, okay? Now, bidding farewell, يَكُون بَيْنَ الْمُتَحَابِّينَ. Bidding farewell happens between people who love each other, or two parties that love each other. But being displeased, قَدْ يَكُونْ بَيْنَ الْمُتَخَاصِمِينَ. It could happen between people that are at odds against each other. So the word that could have even, that might have suggested that Allah may be displeased with His Messenger, in that context, Allah did not even put the Messenger's name. He did not even mention you. With goodbye, it's not a negative term. So Allah's Messenger's name is mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا وَدَّعَكَ. With being displeased, Allah put the name, He removed the name of the Messenger, or the mention of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, He's not displeased. But He refrained from saying, He is not displeased with you. This is one benefit. إِكْرَامًا لِلْرَسُولِ الْكَرِيمِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This, as we say, فَلَمْ يَذْكُرِ الْمَفْعُولِ إِكْرَامًا لِلْرَسُولِ اللَّهِ. He didn't mention the object, meaning He didn't mention the Messenger out of honor of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there are other benefits. When in Arabic something is expected and not mentioned, its benefits are multiple. One, it could be, as we said, for honor, but it could be to actually include a number of meanings at one time. And this is, you know, this التوسع في المعنى it's called, to expand the meaning. And so by saying Allah is not displeased, He's teaching us, not only is He not displeased with you, but not any of your followers either. He's not displeased with anything that has to do with your mission. He's happy with everybody altogether. So this qala, leaving it open, it opens the scope of it. Neither you nor your followers have done anything wrong. You have nothing, there's nothing blameworthy going on. This is just a necessary part of the process. And by taking an oath, by the soothing morning and the night, what do you expect after the night? Morning again. We're learning here that the revelation, when it used to come to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was like life for him. It was like that beautiful morning for him. And when the revelation stopped coming, it was like that dead, still night that's not moving. It seems like death. It seems like it's never going to go away. It was that endless depression for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah gives him hope. Now, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. Just incredibly beautiful words. And we're going to see this lesson. What we're learning here, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. This lesson will keep coming back as the surahs continue from here to the end of Qur'an. In different wordings. But let's talk about these words first and foremost. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ. Typically in Arabic we just say, وَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ. The hereafter is better. But Allah says, really the hereafter is better. لَلْآخِرَةُ. The extra la in akhira is لام التوكيد. Now this is used in Arabic in two ways. One way it's used is to swear.
I swear the next life is better. Allah is saying, I swear the next life is better. Or he's saying, I swear for sure the next life is better. Now that kind of language is used depending on the audience. Now, just to give you some idea of what I'm talking about from a rhetorical point of view. When I say the teacher is sitting, then I'm talking to an audience that is neutral. If I say the teacher is definitely sitting, you know what that suggests? That suggests the people I'm talking to, they're not so sure about if he's sitting or not. So I have to convince them. So I don't just say the teacher is sitting, I say the teacher is definitely sitting. But then there's a group of people who says the teacher is standing for sure. To talk to them, I have to say, I swear the teacher is definitely sitting. My language changes because the audience is denying what I have to say, right? So the strength of the language suggests the state of the audience. That's what it suggests. Your child will say to you, I swear I didn't do it. Because they see on your face that you're convinced that you did it. That's why that you have to use that sort of tone. Now Allah says, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ. The hereafter is definitely, definitely better for you. It's better for you. And we'll get to the you part. مِنَ الْأُولَى, from the earliest, from the former. So the latter is better for you than the former. Now this has been interpreted in two ways. One group of mufassirun says, the latter refers to the akhirah, refers literally to the akhirah. Jannah is better for you. The hawd in Jannah, al-kawthar, is better for you than what you have here. Others say, no, it's the latter part of the Prophet's struggle, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that is going to be better for him than the earlier part. In other words, it's going to be easier on him. It's going to be, what Allah, the challenges ahead are going to be easier. The hardest part's already over. The toughest part is already done. Now you would think, how can that be? We have to address this issue. How can it be that the toughest part is already done? This is Meccan Qur'an. Hijrah hasn't happened yet. The torture hasn't occurred yet. Right? The ultimate humiliations haven't occurred. Badr hasn't happened. Uhud hasn't happened. Ahzab hasn't happened. The trouble of the munafiqun hasn't occurred. None of these trials have occurred. And yet Allah is saying what is coming is what? Is better than the earliest. What this is referring to is a very strong lesson in the seerah and the struggle of the Prophet ﷺ. The toughest struggle is the earliest part of the seerah of the Messenger ﷺ, and it's a psychological challenge. He's the only one. Everybody calls him crazy. When he speaks, people ridicule. People make mockery. And whoever believes in him gets called crazy too. You know, as time progresses, more and more people believe. And when more of us are in a group, we have support. But if there's only one or two, then it's that much harder to open your mouth. You know, if we're in an audience, 100 of us, 500 of us, and something is said about Islam, we can find the courage to stand up and say, no, that's not true. But if there's 1,000 opponents and there's one of us, it's harder to open your mouth. It's more difficult. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is suggesting that your numbers are going to increase. And the way the da'wah will become easier and easier upon you. And this ridicule will become more and more, it'll become less and less relevant. So it's the internal struggle that will become easier. The external struggles will remain difficult. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will make them easy for you as well, subhanAllah. The other thing is, I said, you know, some people believe the akhirah here referring to the next life, others referring to the latter time of the Prophet's life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How does Allah in His language, in His Qur'an, ensure that we appreciate both meanings? If Allah said, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Dunya. Dunya is this world, akhirah is the next world. But Allah, instead of using dunya, what did He use here? Al-ula, the earlier, the former. Which again, التَّوَسُّعْ فِي الْمَعْنَى. It includes, by saying earlier, it could mean dunya, and it could mean the earlier part of the Prophet's life. So both meanings are captured together, subhanAllah. The Messenger's struggles as he continues will be better for him, and the Messenger's life in the hereafter, of course, will be better for him. But there's one more thing here that makes it clear that this is not talking first about the Akhirah, even though that meaning is included. It's talking about something special first. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ. The hereafter, or the latter part, is better for you. It's better for you. Now we know akhirah is better than the next, the next life is better than this life. That is for sure. But Allah especially highlights laka. Not even lil mu'mineen. the next life is better for the believers than this life. No, for you especially, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How is this to be understood? First of all, we learn what he will get in Akhirah, nobody else will get. Maqam and Mahmuda, right? Al-Kawthar. So he gets things that nobody else gets. So that's especially better for him. And then what this says, suggests is, Allah will give him khayr in this dunya that has never been given to anyone before him. There are people in this world that have all kinds of riches. They have all kinds of wealth. But the khayr Allah will give him, not just in Akhirah, but in this dunya. The khayr, the good Allah will give His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this dunya, is unlike any khayr that has ever been given before. Let's count some of those khiyar. The domination of Islam, the victory of Islam Allah will give in this world. The conquest and the cleansing of the house of Allah that will become the center of the worship of Allah for generations, thousands of years to come. People will worship, you know, Allah directing their face in that house, and Allah will give him the honor of cleansing that house. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, you know, how is it that as the generations continue, it's better for the Messenger even in the worldly sense? Everywhere in the world, the adhan is called, and whenever the adhan is called, we elevate his mention. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His status keeps on getting elevated. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every time, you know, we say we should do good things because it's sadaqah jariyah. Isn't that what we say? We should do good things, we should contribute to the masjid, we should help out with the, you know, give to the orphan and support the school and make, you know, help people memorize Quran, things like that. Because the good will continue after. The good will continue after. Teaching is a kind of sadaqah jariyah. Giving, you know, giving zakat and all these kinds of things, sadaqah jariyah. Who did the most sadaqah jariyah? Think about that. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every time someone does something good, they are emulating in a thousandth of a fraction the practice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the more good the Sahaba do, who's actually racking up the rewards? وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى Subhanallah. So, أَنَّمَا يَأْتِي خَيْرٌ لَكَ أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ مِمَّا مَضَى As Simon Ra'i comments, that what's coming is better for you, O Messenger, than what has already passed. So we learned why not mention dunya. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا Because then the meaning of akhirah would be reduced to the next life. By saying ula, the akhirah refers to the next life and the later struggles of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other thing about laka, again, we said in this surah we'll find many, many things that tell you the special love Allah has for His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He took ka away from qalaka. But when it came to khayr, he said khayrun la. Ka. He brought ka back again. Additional ka that you don't expect. The sentence would be complete without the prepositional phrase. You could say, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْأُولَى The hereafter is better than the later is better than the earlier. But he says, the later is better for you. The eventual is better for you than the earlier. SubhanAllah. And by the way, when you look at the rest of the surah, how beautifully the surah is tied together, we're skipping one ayah, but Allah mentions the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام used to be an orphan. And he was given shelter. Then he used to be in search of guidance and Allah guided him. Then he used to be, you know, in need and in a desperate situation and Allah made him free of need. عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى Right? Now here he says, the latter part is better for you than the earlier part. And then Allah is teaching His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you already have experience of this. You already have experience of the latter situation being better than the former situation. You were an orphan, and later on you got shelter. You were looking for guidance, later on you got guidance. You were in a desperate financial situation, Allah made you ghani. So already the proof is there in the rest of the surah. It's almost a tafsir of وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى Beautiful how it's tied together, subhanAllah. But now let's get to this next ayah. وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى وَلَا سَوْفَ Now first of all, the word la. Again, lal akhirah, la sawfa. When Allah is talking about the future, He's emphasizing. Why? As the struggles get more and more difficult in the work of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his work of da'wah, the more you have to emphasize, why are you doing this struggle to begin with? And the promise of victory in the future. The promise of paradise in the future. So now how does Allah give consolation to His Messenger? By saying la. Now, in Arabic, for reference to the future, you could say sa or sawfa. You could say lasa yu'tika, or you could say lasawfa yu'tika. So you could say sa and sawfa. You could say, for example, sawfa usalli, and you could say sa usalli. Both of them in rough translation would be, I will pray. I will pray. Or you could even add, I will pray soon. But the difference between sa and sawfa is subtle. Sawfa is a long, it's farther away than sa. Sawfa is longer away than sa. So for example, if I say sawfa usalli, for the ancient Arab, you're going to be praying a little later. But sa usalli, you'll be praying a little sooner. Allah says, وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ. Allah will soon give you, but not too soon, it's a little bit later on. Meaning the Messenger is being told, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, until you get there, there's things to do in the meantime. You have some time before you finally get the eventual gifts. Right now there's some time in between. If it was going to happen very, very soon, what we have found? وَلَا سَيُعْطِيكَ or وَسَيُعْطِيكَ. But so far, there's time in the middle. Now that time in the middle, how should it be spent? We're going to get instructions later on in the surah too. Now that that time in the middle has been illustrated. But let's talk a little bit about this, the word yu'tika. Allah will give. Allah will give you. I'm just roughly translating right now. Allah will give you. But then when you say, I'm going to give you. If you say to your child, I'll give you. What does your child ask you back? Give me what? Give me what? Right? Now the ayah has already said, give you when? Soon I will give you. Soon, a little bit later, I will give you. Okay. But give you what? Allah does not mention what He will give. And this removal of the object, this is again, Allah doesn't say, يُعْطِيكَ الْكَوْثَرِ إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. He mentioned kawthar. What He will give, He mentioned. But in this surah, He didn't even mention what He will give. He didn't even mention what He will give. The benefit of that is, لَقَدْ أَطْلَقَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى الْعِطَاءِ وَلَمْ يُحَدِّدْهُ. He made the giving absolute and didn't put any limits on it. I'll give you. Now you know, imagine somebody comes to you and says, I'll take care of you. Somebody really, really, really rich comes to you and says, man, I'm going to give you so much, you'll be happy. Are you thinking you're going to get 25 bucks out of this guy? You're thinking you're going to get paid. Because he didn't even put a number and he said, you'll be happy, trust me. I'll take care of you. Right? Now, so what the Arab says is, al-ita'u ala qadr al-mu'ti. Giving is appropriate to the one who is going to give. So when Allah says, I'll give you, you can imagine, He didn't even put a limit on it, how unlimited the reward is for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yu'tika. The other thing is, Allah does not say, wala sawfa yu'tika. Ata yu'ti in Arabic is to give. A'ta yu'ti is also to give. The difference between them came up in the previous surah when we said, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى أَعْطَى, the one who gave. And then later on in that surah we saw, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ. Not يُعْطِي, but يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ. We talked about the difference between these two. As a reminder, أَتَى is to give. أَعْطَى is to give a lot. So Allah, even the word for giving is a lot to begin with. And then Allah didn't put a limit on it on top of that. And the other amazing thing about إِتَى is, you know, there's a kind of giving that you can take back also. Right? You can give and you can take it back. Then you can use the word ita. For example, yu'ti mulkahu. Tu'ti. Right? Tu'ti. Watanzi'u. You give and you take away. Allah uses this in the Quran. Tu'ti al-mulka man tasha' wa tanzi'u al-mulka mimman tasha'. You give rulership and sovereignty to whoever you want and you take it away. You snatch it whenever you want or from whoever you want. But yu'ti, the ayn ta, this word, when you give, you've given. You don't take it back. So the word that is used is so beautiful for His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let's look at how this word has been used in other places. By the way, when i'ta is done, then you have full rights over what has been given. When ita is done, it might come with responsibility. Like ataynaka al-kitab. Allah gave the book. Does the book come with responsibilities, or you can do whatever you want with the book? It comes with responsibilities. But Allah says, Allah gave His Messenger al-kawthar. A'tayinaka al-kawthar. A'ta. Which means He has full rights over kawthar. Allah gave Him full rights over al-kawthar. Similarly, we find when Sulaiman alayhi salam has been talked about, هَذَا عَطَاؤُنَا فَمْنٌ أَوْ أَمْسِكْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ أَوْ أَمْسِكْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. This is our gift to you, then favor others or hold back however you want without any limits. You have full rights. The word used, عَطَاؤُنَا. عَطَاؤُنَا. So this gives you full control. That is the word Allah uses for His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to give you, no strings attached. No responsibilities. It's a gift to you, subhanallah. فَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ. Now there's a discussion, pages upon pages upon pages in tafsir, on what is it that Allah will give. And most of the discussion revolves around Allah Azza wa Jal giving and the Messenger asking for the shafa'a, for the intercession of this ummah. And Allah Azza wa Jal will accept the plea of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam until the Messenger says, I am satisfied. I am satisfied. So the words are, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Then you will be pleased. You will be pleased. Who will be pleased? Then as a result, the Messenger will be pleased sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's beautiful subtlety here. Again, التوسع في المعنى. First of all, Allah will forgive and give shafa'ah until the Messenger himself sallallahu alayhi wasallam is satisfied. We should understand this holistically. Some of the Muslims have taken the shafa'ah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and taken advantage of this concept and said, well, I can run the liquor store because after all, Allah loves His Messenger. And He's going to make a case for me and I'll be alright. Right? They've taken advantage of this concept of الشَّفَاعَةَ مِنَ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. But we understand in the Qur'an, Allah makes two kinds of testimony. Allah's Messenger makes two kinds of requests. On the one hand, He makes a request for shafa'ah. We find this in plenty of a hadith. And in the words, إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ, right? On the other hand, we find the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ making a case, complaining to Allah about a group of people. Now I want you to think about this with a sound heart. On the one hand, Allah is making a case for some people. Oh Allah, forgive them. They are my ummah. On the other hand, that same Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is making a case complaining to Allah in the court of Allah against a group of people. Now you can imagine, Allah will satisfy the request of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who He makes a case for, and who He makes a case against. If Allah's Messenger complains against him, who's going to come and be a defense attorney for that guy? You understand? This is a scary place to be. Now, what are the words? Allah's Messenger says in another place, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. The Messenger will say, Master, O Lord, O Master, this nation of mine, my nation, no doubt, abandoned this Qur'an. They abandoned this Qur'an. This is referring to the kuffar who abandoned the message of the Qur'an. But Allah Azza wa Jal does not make the Messenger say on that day, إِنَّ الْكُفَّارِ اِتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. The disbelievers, they abandoned the Qur'an. He says, إِنَّ قَوْمِي, my nation, abandoned the Qur'an. Now his nation is Quraysh originally. But who else is included in his nation? We are. So if we abandon the book of Allah and its message and its teachings, its guidance, its application, then we might, the danger exists. Because the description fits. The label wasn't given, the description was given. And if it fits, it's a scary scenario. May Allah not make us or any of the Muslims from those unfortunate that the Messenger himself, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, complains against. You know this fatarda? Fatarda? This, the word rida, to be satisfied, this is used usually in Jannah. Radiallahu anhum wa radu anhu. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ إِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً. These are contexts of Jannah when rida is used. Allah says to His Messenger, He will give you so much that you will have rida, you will be satisfied, you will be totally content. But again, an object is not mentioned. When you say He will be pleased, He will be satisfied, two questions come up. Pleased with who? And pleased about what? You know, pleased with who and pleased about what? Now the answer to that is, pleased with who? Pleased with Allah. Now the thing is, no matter what Allah Azza wa Jal does, whether Allah punishes the ummah or doesn't punish the ummah, the Messenger will always be pleased with Allah. That's given. But Allah Azza wa Jal did not just say, فَتَرْضَى عَنِّي فَتَرْضَى عَنْ رَبِّكَ. You will be pleased with your Lord. He said, you will be pleased, just pleased. Not only will He be pleased with His Master, He will also be pleased with what His Master has done. Over what? The forgiveness, the shafa'ah that has been offered to the ummah, and the gifts that Allah has given His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah make us all recipients of that. Now Allah says, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا? Amazing rhetorical language. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا? Didn't He find you an orphan? Didn't He find you an orphan? Now the language, you could have said, وَجَدَكَ يَتِيمًا. He found you an orphan. Allah says, didn't He find you an orphan? He puts it as a question, as a rhetorical question. Now, when do we do that in language? It's very simple. It was done thousands of years ago, it's even done today. You say to somebody, didn't I do this? Didn't I take care of you last time? Somebody says, hey, are you going to deliver on time this week? And your business partner, you say to him, didn't I do this last time too? Didn't we already have this conversation? What are you trying to say? Don't worry about it. It's taken care of. I'm reliable and I've proven my reliability to you already. So now the messenger is concerned, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the fate of the ummah, about whether this mission will succeed or not, about whether or not more revelation will come, and Allah azza wa jal gives him consolation by not referring to the future now, referring to the past. The few gifts that Allah just talked about so far were about the future. Allah will give. He will not abandon you. He's not displeased with you. That's about the future. Now he turns the subject matter to the past, making the same case from the past. Didn't he find you an orphan? Fa'awa. Al-iwa in Arabic, awa is thulathi mujarrad, those of you know a little bit about sarf and morphology, the three-letter form of it is to give or take refuge from some kind of danger. But iwa is to pull, bring someone into your home, to make someone a guest in your house because they have nowhere to stay. You put them in your house, this is called al-iwa. Allah says, didn't he find you an orphan and he made you a guest? He gave you iwa. Now we know, Allah Azza wa Jal gave him this shelter by means of his uncle Abu Talib radiallahu, not radiallahu anhu, but you know, his uncle Abu Talib, who had given him shelter when he was an orphan. But Allah does not mention, I gave you this shelter by means of Abu Talib, by this, by this, by this. Who takes full credit for the giving of shelter? Awa, he gave shelter. What do we understand from this? We understand people will do us favors. But we have to recognize those are just means. Where did the favor actually come from? It came from Allah Azza wa Jal. Didn't he find you an orphan? By the way, yatim is an important... Yatim has been coming up, if you notice, in the previous surah. Yatim keeps coming up. Take care of the yatim, take care of the yatim. And now, you yourself were yatim. You yourself were yatim. The messenger is being told, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why so much mention of the yatim? If you think of a child who's been orphaned, it's the most painful thing to imagine, a child losing their parents. Right, not having their parents anymore. Nobody cares for you like your parents care for you. Even if somebody adopts you, even if it's your uncle, even if it's your relative, no one will ever substitute for your parents. The way they love you, the way they forgive you, the way they overlook your shortcomings, nobody else does that for you. And if you don't have any shelter after your parents are gone, then you are basically the most oppressed in society and nobody hears your cries. The orphan, who's he going to cry to? Who's he going to complain to? Your child cries, you run and take care of them. But if our children, ma'adallah, if a child is orphaned, who's going to take care of their cries? Who's going to fulfill their needs? Who's going to give them, who's going to hug them, who's going to put them to sleep? It's not just a loss of food and shelter. It's that human need to be taken care of that's taken away from them, right? So Allah says, you were in this helpless state. You were in this dark place and Allah Azza wa Jalla brought you out. So wal akhiratu khairul laka min al ula, the case is already proven in the past. Fa'awa. Then he says, wa wajadaka dallan fahada. Very important ayah. If you look at the word dal, it means misled. Misled. It also means lost. So the raw translation would be, and he found you lost, then he guided you. Now when we say the people outside on the street are lost, they're going to the clubs, they're drinking, they're doing this, that, they're lost. We say about the Christians, they're lost, they do shirk. غير المغضوب عليهم, same word, وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. It is used for people, we don't want to be like them. And in this ayah, Allah is using it for His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to understand this carefully. Similarly, Musa alayhi salam, when he was questioned by Fir'aun, وَفَعَلْتَ فَعْلَتَكَ الَّتِي فَعَلْتَ وَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. You did that thing you did, you know, you killed that guy. Are you denying it? What did he say? فَعَلْتُهَا إِذَنْ وَأَنَا مِنَ الضَّالِّينَ. I did it, but I was from those who were lost. So how do we understand this word? The way it's been explained, by the way, the explanation of this comes from the Qur'an itself. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِن كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. And before this revelation came, you were unaware. You were utterly unaware that there's this higher truth, this wisdom, that could only have come from Allah, you can't figure it out yourself. You were completely unaware of it. And comparing your state after the revelation came to before the revelation came, you can only be described as what? Lost. But even his lost state is better than most of us today. Right? He never committed shirk. He was on the fitrah. And when the scholars describe the fitrah of the prophets, especially, alayhi salatu wasalam, they don't commit shirk, they don't commit any evil acts, they are the best and most righteous of people. Even before the revelation comes, they have all the elements of the best of the believers. They already have all of that. But the highest wisdom, what exactly do we have to do for our master? How do we call him? What pleases him? What displeases him? What do we owe him? That we are lost. At that point we are lost. So you can have a decent person, but if you have someone, you know, even a decent person doesn't know everything about what they owe to their creator, in that sense he was lost, and some actually even better define it, he was seeking. He found you seeking. You know, when somebody is lost, what are they doing? They're seeking. So the implication is, he found you searching for truth. In other words, as Islahi comments in Tadabbur al-Qur'an, he says at this point, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is raised in a society where people do shirk. It doesn't fit his taste. He can't stand shirk. He doesn't go and be part of useless gatherings. The people of the book have corrupted their books, even that doesn't satisfy him. So he is disturbed about where do you find truth? He's seeking desperately for it. And it is at that desperate moment that, and you know, some even comment that the fact that he used to go reflect in the cave, and he used to leave society even before revelation came, it is because he was so dissatisfied with what was there. There was nothing there that satisfied his quest for truth. So he would go and reflect and reflect and reflect, but the human mind cannot find that truth on its own. So Allah describes that state of the Messenger searching, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he gives it, fahada. And this is essentially, if you want to look at it from an outsider's point of view, this is essentially the difference between a philosopher and a prophet. This is essentially the difference between a philosopher and a prophet. Aristotle, Plato, all philosophers, right? Where did they find truth? They found the truth from reflection, their own thoughts. Where does the Messenger find truth? He reflects, he realizes he can't find truth on his own, and then Allah gives him guidance. So his wisdom is not his own. The wisdom is given to him by Allah. وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever has been given wisdom. They don't have wisdom, Allah gives them wisdom. Allah gives them wisdom. Even Luqman, we don't say Al-Hakim actually. We say وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. We gave Luqman wisdom. Allah doesn't say Luqman was wise. Allah says Allah gave him wisdom. So this is really the quest, the Messenger is significantly different from the philosopher. Now the Western mind, when they talk about prophets, especially in Islam, they say, oh, your Muhammad says. That's how they talk about him. Muhammad said this, Muhammad said that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They don't say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they are assuming that he is what? That he's a philosopher. They're making the assumption that he said this, this was his own ideas. But where are we coming from? Allah guided him. Allah gave him this. He doesn't speak on his behalf. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. This is the essential difference. So now Allah explains in His own book, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. You had no idea what the book was, and you had no idea what complete iman was. You had no idea. Allah gave you that guidance. Similarly, Musa alayhi salam didn't know the law of Allah when he committed that crime. He didn't know. He didn't know any better. So in that sense, he was lost. Not like the lost of, you know, al-maghdub alayhim and al-dallin. This is the one seeking the truth. And Allah gave you that ultimate gift, fahada. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا. And he found you in عِيلَ. عَيْلَ or عِيلَ also. Okay. Now this word, you know, it's translated as poor or desperate, financially desperate. But the Qur'an uses the word faqir, miskeen. For poverty, Allah uses the word imlaq, qatr, ba'sa, matraba, yatiman, or miskeenan dha matraba, we learned, right? One with the dust. All these words are used for poverty. What word has been used here? عَائِلًا. عَائِل is someone who is under a lot of pressure and they're being crushed by that pressure. A term for your family is ayal in Arabic, ayal. You know why that word is used? If you are financially responsible for your family members, it is like a burden placed upon you. So they're called ayal. Okay? A'il is someone who is under a lot of pressure, a lot of burden is on them, and you have to alleviate that burden. Allah says, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. He found you crushed under weight, in this desperate state, and He made you free of need. فَأَغْنَى. Now Allah Azza wa Jal does not mention how He made him ghani. You know, we learn in tafsir of this surah, he married him, he found him a spouse, Khadija radiallahu anha, who was financially free. This freed up the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he may reflect and he may do other things. And the financial support of Khadija radiallahu anha plays a strategic role in the struggle of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in the end, the credit does not go, as much as she gets rewarded radiallahu anha, where does the credit go? Where does Allah take, who takes the credit? Aghna. He made you free of need. And as I reminded you in the beginning of this dars, it is being compared with the previous surah. وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّى. His wealth is not able to make him free of need. In the previous surah, your wealth is not enough to make you free of need. And in this surah, Allah makes you free of need. Allah makes His Messenger free of need. This comparison is being drawn. SubhanAllah. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Now Allah gave His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam three reminders. Three favors that Allah had done for him. What were the three favors? أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا. Didn't He find you an orphan? Didn't He find you seeking? وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا. And then finally, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا. Three favors. Three favors. Now Allah places on His Messenger symmetrically three demands. Three favors were mentioned. Now three demands are going to be mentioned. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ. Then when it comes to the orphan, especially, أَمَّا الْيَتِيمُ would imply, then especially when it comes to the orphan, فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Then don't overpower him, don't humiliate him. This is, you know, فَلَا تَغْلَبْ, or تَغْلِبْ even. Don't over-dominate him, don't be domineering to an orphan. But تَقْهَرْ, قَهَرْ is different from غَلَبْ, okay? قَهَرْ is to not only have power over someone, but to impose yourself on them and then humiliate them too. These are all the implications of the word taqhar. Why does Allah mention this? Of course, the Messenger would never do this, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But when the Messenger is being taught directly, who is supposed to be learning? All of us. We are supposed to be learning. Allah is teaching His Messenger a lesson, but we're supposed to take heed. So, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Because you yourself were yatim at one time. So you are here to make sure that this doesn't happen to any yatim. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. And when it comes to the one who asks, now the one who asks could be two things. They could be asking you for knowledge, they could be asking you for guidance, and of course they could be hungry. Not just hungry of knowledge and guidance, but hungry really of food, of shelter. So if any sa'il comes to you, then as far as they're concerned, فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Then you don't, you know, it's interesting, you guys know the word nahar, river, right? تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارْ. So what's tanhar? What's nahar have to do with nahar? Nahar really, if you translate it, don't scold him. That's how it's translated, don't scold him. Now the Arabic word for that is zajar. فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. Right? Wazdujir, for example. This is scolding. But nahar, you know, it's a river in which the water is gushing. And this word is used for scolding, that when you're yelling at somebody and scolding them, they feel like they're standing in a river and the water is gushing at them. It's like they're standing and facing the wrath of a river. That's what it feels like when you're humiliating them and yelling at them. So Allah says, when someone comes and asks you, don't humiliate them like that so they feel like they're standing in a river. And they're being, the water's just coming in and just hitting them wave after wave after wave. What we're learning here is how to deal with the one who asks. And you know, especially for the people of knowledge or da'wah and things like that, sometimes people ask really annoying questions. Right? And sometimes people ask really like, you know, absurd kinds of questions. And you look at them and you say, how dumb are you? Why don't you get this? It's simple, you know. And you answered it, then they ask again. Then you answer for 20 minutes and they ask, somebody else asks the same question again. And you say, oh my God, I can't stand these people. They have such annoying questions. Right? Or somebody asks to get on your nerves. Sometimes somebody can ask to get on your nerves. And you figure you've sized this guy up. He's only asking to kind of, you know, size you up. Even then, leave them in a dignified fashion. You don't say, I'm going to teach this guy a lesson. I'm going to make him face the wrath of a river. Right? Allah gives the advice. أَمَّسَائِلْ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Don't humiliate them like that. Don't humiliate them like that. And this is the advice given to the Messenger himself. So how much more does it apply upon us, all of ourselves? But the last thing, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to his Messenger, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكِ. And as when it comes to the favor of your master, ni'mah. Ni'mah comes from nu'uma, softness. As for the softness and the ease and the relaxation and the comfort that the Master has given you, ni'mati rabbik, fahaddith, then make mention of it. Now the thing is, Allah did not mention which ni'mah. Before He said, yu'tika, He will give you. He didn't mention what He'll give you. Here He said, make mention of the ni'mah, not even ni'am. Ni'am would have been all of the favors. Allah just says, one ni'mah, ni'mah, ni'mati rabbik. And the other thing also is, in language you could say, فَأَمَّا بِالنِّعْمَةِ مِنْ رَبِّكِ. As for the favor that came from your Lord. We don't find that here. We find, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكِ. إِضَافَة. The favor of your Master. The favor of your... This is what called taqreeb. It's brought close to each other. This is a favor of Allah as a result that He is so close to you. That the ta'eed hasn't been done by the min in the middle. Right? Now, if you study the surah carefully, you'll find the answer to what that favor is. If you look, some of the mufassirun said this is the wisdom given to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Others said annaha an-nubuwwah wa ta'alimiha. It is the prophethood itself and its teachings. Others said this is all the good that comes to anyone, you should make mention of it. Fahaddith. This is advice to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But let's make a list. The surah is concluding. How is it tied to its beginning? Is there a list of favors Allah did to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this surah? Number one favor, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. He didn't bid you farewell. That's a favor of Allah. And He's not displeased. Here's a second favor. وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. The eventual will be better for you than the earliest. Not just in this life, in the next life too. Here's a third favor. وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. He will soon give you, you'll be pleased. Isn't that another favor? Here's another favor. Didn't He find you an orphan and gave you shelter? أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Here's another favor. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. Here's another favor. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. Subhanallah. Favor after favor after favor after favor after favor. And finally the Messenger is commanded, فَحَدِّثْ. But you know what's amazing? Allah does not say, فَحَدِّثْهُ or فَحَدِّثْهَا. Then mention it. He could have said, then mention it. He doesn't say mention it. He doesn't say mention it. He just says then mention. Now hadith then implies, not only should you mention the favor, you should make mention to the people of the teachings Allah has given you. Keep mentioning this deen. Keep mentioning this deen. Because of the favors Allah has given you. And Allah says, bi ni'mati rabbik. Because of the favor of your Lord, this amazing favor, compiling them as one, the ultimate favor of your Lord. As a result, what should your response be? Don't worry about anything else, just keep making mention. And hadith implies to speak by the tongue. To actually speak up about the favor of Allah and the teachings of this deen. Go back a little, I want to share with you some other things about the surah that I skipped that are really important and we conclude inshaAllah. When we go to the word hada, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. I said He guided. He found you seeking and then he guided. We don't find fahadaka, then He guided you. We don't find ka. Not mentioning ka has a number of favors. Fahada laka, for your sake He guided. That's one meaning. Fahadaka, He guided you. Fahada bika, He guided others by means of you. He guided others by means of you. The irony is you yourself were seeking and Allah gave you so much guidance that you became a source of guidance for others. All of that is captured by Allah not saying fahadaka, leaving it fahada. All of that is captured, subhanallah. Similarly, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. By not mentioning أَغْنَاكَ, He made you free of need. He didn't say that. He said أَغْنَى. أَغْنَى لَكَ, for your sake He made ghina of you. He made ghina for you, for your sake, to you, and then bika, because of you He gave ghina to others. He gave ghina to others, subhanallah. How Allah Azza wa Jal embodies these profound lessons by not mentioning much. By taking away actually, meanings are enhanced. At-tawassu' fil ma'na. Allah Azza wa Jal says, fa'awa. He found you an orphan, and He gave you shelter. Awa laka, awa ka, awa bika. He gave others shelter by means of you too. Not just that He gave shelter, He gave shelter to others because of you. He gave people the shelter of this deen from the storm of shirk. He gave them shelter of that too. Subhanallah. How Allah Azza wa Jal captures multitudes of meanings in one word. Then finally, the one I want to repeat, because it's the most beautiful of these, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. You will be pleased. Not only will you be pleased with Allah, but you will be pleased with the ones Allah will give you. Allah will give you a following, Allah will give you sahaba that you will be pleased with. You yourself will be pleased with. This is described in Surah Al-Fath. يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَّاعِ لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. The farmer is really happy by the crop. The crop used to be just a little tiny, you know, little tiny blade. It came up, it couldn't even stand on its own. You had to put a trellis next to it, tie it up so it could stand. فَاسْتَغْلَظَ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِهِ. Then it got stronger, then it could stand on its own, right? And the farmer, when he sees the plant is finally mature, he's really happy. Who's the farmer? The ayah began, مُحَمَّدُ الرَّسُولُ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءَ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءَ بَيْنَهُمْ. That's where the ayah began. So the ayah is actually talking about the sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'een. When Allah says fatarda, He will give you so much that you will be happy, and part of that giving is the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And part of that gift is the ones that Allah's Messenger boasted about. He told his companions, there are people coming that are better than you. I'm paraphrasing, getting right to the point. We could become part of fatarda. We could become part of fatarda. That is an opening Allah Azza wa Jal has given to us. That not only will Allah be pleased with us, we would be the source of pride and the source of joy for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless all of us with that honor. Inshallah ta'ala, the next surah will be the surah of the study of the continuing favors of Allah Azza wa Jal, as we heard in the salah, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. It will be a continuity of these favors that Allah has mentioned, but we'll see a beautiful contrast between this surah and the next. Next time, سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.